It's time for the Apple Watchcast. Apple releases new Invites app. Series 10 Watch may have a speaker issue. New PowerBeats Pro 2 is released. Apple secretly testing Starlink connectivity for the Apple Watch Ultra and the iPhone. Pebble Watch is making a comeback. And Apple brings the Pixar Luxo lamp to life in an amazing robot design. Plus reviews of the Tesla app, the Translate app, and Apple events past and future. This and much, much more. It's all coming up next on the Apple Watchcast. This is the Apple Watchcast, episode 486, recorded Wednesday, February 12th, 2025. Heartburn and a sticker.
It's time for the Apple Watchcast. Apple Watchcast, a podcast dedicated to the Apple Watch.
It's time for the Apple Watchcast, where we talk about any and everything Apple Watch, Apple's most personal and healthy device yet, and the number one watch in the world. I'm your host, Tom, and joining me is Vincent. Welcome to the show, Vincent.
All right, let's get this thing done before Elon Musk shuts us down.
Yes. You're coming to us from a remote location through through your laptop, so you don't have the benefit of a really nice microphone, but we can still hear you just fine, so we should be able to do this. Also joining us, of course, is Chris. Welcome to the show, Chris.
It sounds like Vincent's in a secret location.
Yes, undisclosed location. Mm-hmm. Not too far from where I am, actually. Yeah. You're not that far away.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, that mystery aside, it seems like forever since we've had a show because it's been almost a month.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a lot of things to talk about, and hopefully we get through them without this being a three-hour show. But we'll see. So let's, anything you want to mention before we dive into the news?
No, lots of stuff.
Football season's over. Oh no.
Well, you know, every time this year,
it's always happens in February. So, hey, what are you going to do?
Good news is baseball's not that far away.
That's right.
And you got basketball, you got all kinds of good stuff.
That's right. 8 days until spring training starts.
Really? 8 days?
Yeah, the first...
I didn't think it was that soon.
The first Cleveland game is Feb 22nd.
Oh, my gosh.
So is that... No, it's not eight days. Whatever. I can't do math, but you can figure it out.
Well, they're completely overlapping, aren't they?
Yeah.
It's just nuts.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Well, we've been kind of out of the news here for a while since we did our tip show last couple of weeks ago. And so I'm just going to take these in order. No, you know, not instead of just the top story or whatever, we'll just kind of go in the order that they came. Some of this you may have already heard, already discussed, but we'll briefly go through it all. First up, I had marked this one a long time ago. I just thought it was kind of interesting because we've talked about this in the past, but now we get a real clear answer, and that is why Walmart still won't take Apple Pay. So if you go to your local Walmart, try to pay with your watch, you can't.
Right.
So despite, this is an article from Apple Insider. It says, despite widespread adoption, Walmart has doubled down and gone on record saying it will not accept NFC-based payments like Apple Pay, in the U.S. at least. So apparently they do offer it in Canada, Walmart's. They have over 4,500 stores in the U.S., and exactly zero of them accept Apple Pay or Google Pay or any tap to pay with your credit card or debit card. So not just Apple. And it's because they have their own NFC-based payment system, which we knew. But I would have thought by now that they would have kind of caved in and allowed this, but they're the one big holdout. I think just recently we had... a big grocery store chain, Kroger, recently got Apple Pay as well as Home Depot. So those are two big box or big chains that also accept it but not Walmart. A Walmart representative reached out to Mac Rumors and gave the following statement. They said, "We do not accept NFC and instead have implemented convenient solutions such as Walmart Pay that provide our customers easy touchless payment on any smartphone. We've also invested in innovative technologies that go beyond payments, such as Scan and Go, which allows Sam's Club and Walmart Plus members to bypass the checkout altogether, providing a truly touchless shopping experience." Basically, the gist of this article is they have too much money and time put into their system to turn it over. And the other thing they mentioned, which I thought was kind of interesting, is they kind of do their own credit card processing like their own bank. So that's probably the main reason right there.
Yeah, it saves them a lot of money, I'm sure.
I bet it does over the course of so many transactions.
I was going to say, I mean, I don't know if Apple Pay charges merchants a transaction fee. So it might just be the hardware, the cost, and the processor in the back, like you said.
Maybe, but they still take NFC. It's just their own. So the hardware is the hardware, right? It's not like they have to put in new terminals everywhere. Or maybe they do. I don't know.
The ones that support Apple Pay? I have no idea.
I mean, I'm a credit card processor with our company. And our system, at one point, did not take Apple Pay. Then they suddenly, when they started to offer it, I didn't have to get new hardware.
Okay.
They simply turned it on in the back office kind of thing. So I don't know. Maybe it does require. I do know that like Kroger got new, they got new devices when you check out.
Right.
But I think that maybe because they didn't accept other types of tap to pay. I don't know.
It could be an upgrade hardware too. Well, I know it says in the article too, with Sam's, you get the app, you know, the Scan and Go, which is amazing. You know, Sam's could be crowded as all be and you scan and go and you're not even in a line, right? It's fantastic. And it comes with the subscription that you have. Walmart has the Scan and Go, but it's an extra fee. So you have to join the Walmart. It's not the same as Sam's. Yeah. And I know this because I forgot my wallet over Christmas season, ran into Walmart to get something, went to scan. I'm like, oh, I have no wallet, no credit card, no nothing. I'm going to use my watch. Can't do that. Right. So I ran through this whole rigmarole and it was painful.
Yeah. It's, you know, this article says, this means a customer would have to have a Walmart account, save a credit card or debit card to their account, and then have the Walmart app on their phone. So it's not exactly easy.
I did all that at the POS.
Okay.
It took about 10 minutes, and I just loaded my Apple card into it. And then I was able to buy something. I should have just left and gone home and got my wallet and come back, right? I mean, it'd been a bit easier.
Yeah, I love that feeling. I was just recently in recent travels, we stopped for lunch somewhere, and I just ran in. I think it was like a Popeyes or something, just to grab a chicken sandwich. Where got out of the car, ran in, got up to the counter. I'm thinking about what I'm going to buy, and I realized I left my wallet in the car. And the woman behind the counter looked at me. She could tell by the look on my face that I had forgotten my wallet. And I glanced at the thing in my watch. I just pointed to my watch, and she's like, "Yes, we take Apple Pay."
That's awesome.
So, yeah, I was like, "Okay, great. I'll have to run back to the car and get my wallet."
I also have to comment that Popeye's chicken sandwiches are awesome.
one of the best. I mean,
there you go. Yeah,
yeah. I absolutely love them. So whenever we can, if we find one, we stop there. But anyway, I just thought this was interesting. We now know exactly why they don't. And they are, I think, one of the last holdouts for as far as a big chain of accepting Apple Pay. So
yeah. Mm-hmm. At their size, the amount of fees, I can imagine. Yeah, they want to avoid that as much as possible.
Yeah, but wouldn't you think by their size that we'd get a special fee from Apple? I mean.
Yeah, really. Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
You'd think so. Anyway, there it is. If you were wondering why. There's the answer. All right, what's up next here? Okay, a little blast from the past. You remember Pebble? Remember that watch?
Yes.
What was it? It's an e-ink watch from way back when. Pebble's founder is going to bring it back. The founder's name is Eric I'm going to mispronounce this. Midjakovsky? Perhaps?
Sounds
good. Eric. We'll just call him Eric. Eric, who's the original founder of Pebble. 8 years after the whole thing came to an end, says he's working with a small team on a Pebble-like smartwatch that runs open-source Pebble OS. Mm-hmm. He said there'll be some new features, but new watches would stay true to the core Pebble vision. They say with enough signups, they'll get the watch built. So it is just kind of like the original Pebble, kind of a build-it-as-you-go kind of thing. Pebble was launched in 2012,
mm-hmm.
and was one of the first smartphone-type watches, smartwatches, right, from that time period, selling 2 million models. And it was an early success of crowdfunding. They ran into some issues. The hardware, inexperienced hardware people, funding gaps, stiff competition when the Apple Watch was finally launched. They stopped making it their watches after an IP-only sale to Fitbit in 2016. Right. Google then acquired Fitbit in 2021, gaining some original Pebble workers. I think we've mentioned these stories in the past,
mm-hmm.
Who helped them launch replacement web services of the watch. And they kept working on the newest Android phones. So they kind of kept it limping along.
Mm-hmm.
But the big question is, why would you want to do that now? Why would you want to make an e-paper watch? It's because Google has released most of the source code for Pebble's operating system. So it's missing a few things, but basically anyone can make a Pebble-ish watch if they're using the code.
Mm.
So with that, he says basically nothing has really replaced the original. And by that, he means always on screen, long battery life, simple and beautiful user experience, focused on useful essentials, physical buttons, and hackable, including custom watch faces. Mm-hmm. So basically the idea that went in with this, he could still do, and no one's really taken that niche market.
Right.
So pretty cool. He's going to bring it back.
It is. I mean, there's a market for it, right? There's always going to be that niche market for simple. So I think it's a good idea. Hopefully he does well.
Simple, retro. Yeah.
What's funny is... Yeah, the battery life is like phenomenal, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they asked him by email if the modern day Pebble watch would have better interoperability with Apple's iPhones than the original models, and he replied, "No, even less now." So there was some lawsuit against Apple in the past. I don't know,
mm-hmm.
but
mm-hmm.
it sounds like they haven't worked that out yet.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, if you had a Pebble, you want a new one, just you can jump on board this, I guess. I'll put a link in the show notes.
There you go. Yeah.
In fact, I don't know. Is there a link here to sign up?
Repebble? Yeah, repebble.com.
Repebble.com. Okay.
It's a pretty fun, cute website.
Is it? Okay. Repebble page. Yeah, there it is. Okay, great. Yeah. I will, I'll put a link in the show notes for that if anybody's interested. Just get rid of your Apple Watch and switch to Pebble. Can you imagine doing that?
No. I can't.
No, not quite. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's see. Speaking of interesting technology, Apple might be testing Starlink satellite connectivity. For select iPhone users. So Starlink is the network of satellites that Elon Musk has put up in the...
Mm-hmm.
Using SpaceX, right?
That's correct.
He's put all these up there to connect remote parts of the world to have internet connection. Well, apparently, the kind of hidden in there, in the latest OS update for the iPhone, is the ability to connect to this satellite network. They've been testing this for a while. This is the latest 18.3 update, which was released on January 27th. contains under-the-radar support for Starlink.
Mm-hmm.
So currently, Apple has a connection with what's the Global Star Network. Well, this could give iPhone users another option and might provide an alternative if they can't connect to Global Star. Because apparently, with Global Star, you got to kind of have to hold your phone out in the open
right,
to get a signal.
Right. Yeah.
This would basically even work in your pocket, right?
Mm-hmm. You still need to be able to see the sky.
Yeah, you still have to have some direct line of sight, right?
It says, unlike Global Star, you don't need to point your phone to the sky to connect to Starlink. It should even work when your phone is in your pocket. So, according to this article, it's supposed to be that good. But apparently, this is the interesting part. Bloomberg reports that this feature is coming to the Apple Watch Ultra later this year. Your watch will connect. Yeah.
See that.
Yep. So it's kind of been in there and hidden.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're basically maybe sending simple text messages and emails, right? You're not doing like complex video.
No, full on
streaming.
Full on, I think.
Is it?
I think you can do full on calls and everything. I don't know if you can do FaceTime video, but
yeah, call
or like Netflix. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I think calls, text, email. You know, no streaming, no high res videos. I think that's all the case.
Yeah, for now, it only works with text messages on iPhones, but support for data and video calls is apparently in the works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they'll get there. There's no doubt.
They'll get there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's coming. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So does this mean the end of having a cell system?
Eventually, I think that's where this will go, right? Everything's going to be satellite and you're going to be, well, I shouldn't say that because you're going to need line of sight, right? Until they get rid of the line of sight requirement.
Well, if there's enough of them up there, you'll never really be out of connection, right? But how does that work in a building if you're in a room?
That's what I mean. Can you do it?
Yeah.
Well, Vincent, you can tell us, right? If you're in a building, you can't connect to satellite, right?
Yeah, that's what I figured. Once you're inside some sort of building, you're going to need another type of transponder.
Some sort of way to connect it. But, I mean, I can see a future where you're, instead of paying AT&T, you're paying Starlink.
Oh, you're going to end up paying both.
Oh, well, that's not good. That's not better. That's worse. I don't want to do that.
Definitely really interesting with the Super Bowl ads that T-Mobile went out and they.
Yes.
Yeah.
They said it was going to be free for 6 months for everybody.
Yeah.
Does that start now?
The beta rollout.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that was an interesting commercial. They're of course, T-Mobile is they're the third, right? First, I think it's AT&T, Verizon, and then T-Mobile. So they got to do something to get people excited about T-Mobile, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And this could do it. So we shall see.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lots of interesting satellite connectivity coming.
Yeah. It's hit the infancy. It's going to grow.
Yeah. Right.
According to GPT, yes, you do need a line of sight. Does not work well inside buildings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. There you go.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I'm sure they'll have some way of boosting that signal.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. You're going to have to pay twice to do it. Speaking of, I don't know. Speaking of anything, Apple's did their earnings call for Q1, which was, it's the first fiscal, I always get confused on this. It's the first fiscal quarter of 2025, but it's the fourth calendar quarter of 2024.
Yes, they've always been that offset.
Isn't that weird? They start, they have their own calendar.
Well, they
have custom made calendars. Yeah. They don't even follow the normal thing.
No.
They don't do anything normal. They always have to make their own. Okay. Anyway, everything was up except iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
iPhone was down. Now, not like down a lot. It went from 69.7 billion to 69.1 billion.
Mm-hmm.
So that's 0.6 difference. That's 600 million, is that right? No.
Yeah, roughly.
Roughly. That's nothing for Apple. But it wasn't growing, so that's
15 minutes of revenue, I think, in a given day.
If that, yeah. Everything else was up. Services, the Mac, iPad sales, all of it was up. And their best quarter to date ever. Yeah. History of the company. Another little interesting tidbit in there was Apple's installed base of active devices reached an all-time high. 2.35 billion active devices worldwide.
Yep.
Now, does that include all AirPods and everything else, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
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 But not the ones in a drawer that you don't use anymore, right? It says active.
Active.
Registered and
usable. Yeah, I would guess registered and being used, yes.
Right. That's crazy.
Like I'm using 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 right now, right? Something like that.
Yeah, I've 2.35 billion. I think I've got at least 2.2 billion of those here.
In your museum?
Yeah.
Your garage museum?
No, those aren't active. Those aren't
active. Right. That's right. They're not active.
Right. Apple has now more than a billion subscribers across its services, paid subscriptions. Wow.
Yeah, that's going to just continue to grow too.
Yeah, everything about this is great.
Yeah, it is.
It's fantastic.
They've made quite a pivot in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
Who needs new products?
The whole iPhone. Yep. Exactly. The iPhone thing is what worries everybody.
Well, yeah, but
I mean, that's over.
But it's a 15-year-old product, and it's a tech. That you can see why they're doing other things because the phone is the phone. It's not going to have double-digit growth ever again unless they do something amazingly different.
But it's over 50% of the revenue.
Yeah.
That's what everybody's freaking out over. It's like half of what you do is not growing. So, yeah, that's why you're right. That's why they're investing in other things. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they've got a lot of stuff in the works. I think the iPhone can have another big push. You know, I think the thinner iPhone is going to be cool if they ever get that working. Same with a foldable one. I think there's a whole market for that. I mean, there are some innovations they can still make with the phone.
There are. They have to be kind of game-changing innovations, not, you know, what they've been doing.
Right.
And that might make a difference. You know, a thin phone that's made of glass that just folds in your pocket and you can kind of see through it, you know, like on, you know, some of the sci-fi movies, maybe that would be it.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. That'd be cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but then where would you put all the cameras?
They're there. You just can't see them. Or
they're little tiny drones floating around you.
Yeah. Or an iPhone that you can link to a satellite inside a building. Hey, there you go.
All right. Speaking of new things from Apple, they did release something new this past week, a new app called Invites. It was codenamed Confetti, which I would argue is a better name than Invites, but that's what they went with, Invites. But it's pretty interesting. So it kind of ties into all their other apps, right? It's not just in, you know, we all have, what is it called? Evite or whatever. Everybody gets those invitation things. But this will integrate with photos for shared event albums, music for playlists, image playground. You can create custom invite images, maps for the location, weather to offer forecasts, and of course, calendar. But when you tie all that in together, that makes it a pretty cool app. I have not used it yet. Have either of you tried this out yet?
I downloaded it and opened it. That's as far as I got. Oh, Vincent, you've used it. Cool.
I tried it. Yeah, no, it's actually pretty slick. I mean, you can add a background picture. You can add in, obviously, the date, the location, add a description. It includes a weather widget, so you know what the expected weather for that day is.
Cool.
You can set the destination. You put together an album from your shared pictures, and then also a playlist for music. So it's kind of neat.
The only thing I've heard is it requires an iCloud Plus subscription.
Yeah, it has to host that.
But if you send this to someone else who does not have Apple stuff, do they have to create, I've heard they have to create an Apple account to use this thing or to?
No, I haven't sent it to anybody who doesn't have a phone. So I don't have friends that have Android.
Okay. I don't know. Lucky you.
Okay.
But that would, we'll find out.
That would be kind of limiting. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are not going to jump through all those hoops just
No.
It's kind of like opening a Walmart Pay account.
Yeah, it's, I was just going to say the same thing.
Yeah. So, anyway, interesting app. See if you have anybody that you know is not in the Apple ecosystem, Vincent, send them a test one and see what see what happens on their end. If it, it may be fine. It may be fine. I don't know. I mean, think they
do have that one odd cousin.
Okay, there you go.
Odd cousin.
So, I mean, does this put, does this Sherlock like Evite?
It sure does. Like, does well, it? I know. Mm-hmm. I mean, it depends on, you know, what you just said there, how it works with the Android community.
Right. Does it set up, doesn't set up a web page, does it? Kind of where people can just log in through a web browser and.
It doesn't seem like it does have a URL or anything like that.
It doesn't? Yeah. Huh.
I mean, basically, you get on the screen and you open the app. It says create an event, right? It's right into the event.
No, I meant as a, someone who receives it. Like, I don't, you know, I guess you do have to sign up for Evite, don't you? You have to be kind of a member to respond to an invitation, is what I'm getting at, to view it, right? So if I get an invitation from an Evite thing, I think that when I click on it, the first thing it's going to tell me is I need to create an account. And once I do, then I can reply and all that good stuff. So this might be similar. I don't know. Mm. All right. So I still say Confetti was a better name, but
right. Yeah,
that's what we got. All right, moving on. Okay. You only got 2 days left to do this, but, or get ready for it. Apple Watch Heart Month Challenge is set for Valentine's Day. So you get this by closing your exercise ring February 14th, which is in 2 days.
Two days
to earn the award.
So you're running to the store for flowers, and you're running for this back home with your flowers.
Done. Mm-hmm. And then you get some stickers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, these are pretty cool little stickers. You got the running heart, and you got the, I like the multiple hearts that form a heart. I'm not sure what this third one is, though.
What heart is on that? Fire.
Is that on fire?
Yeah.
No.
That's fire.
Mm-hmm. Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
That's weird. Okay. Kind of a strange choice.
Yeah, that is. I didn't really pick that up, to tell you the truth. Flaming heart.
Flaming heart. Okay. Mm-hmm. Your heartburn. That's heartburn. That's what that is.
Ah, look at you. Da, da, da.
Heartburn. All right. what'd you get for Valentine's Day? Heartburn.
And a sticker.
Heartburn and a sticker. There you go. Love it. All right. So, just got to close that exercise ring and for the day, and you'll get those. You ever go back to those stickers and use them in your messages and stuff?
Never done.
Rarely.
That. Never done it.
No.
Yeah.
I do from time to time. I kind of forget sometimes that they're there. Mm-hmm. But you earn all these things, you should be using them, right?
Yeah. But for what context is the thing? You know.
Well, this would make a pretty cool heart thing to send someone instead of just a normal heart, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Something like that. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh. All right, moving on. Okay. Okay, Nomad has released the strangest looking cable for your watch and other devices. It's a very unique cable, as they describe it, as unlike anything else on the market. It's a universal cable for Apple Watch that includes a built-in Apple Watch fast charging puck along with two USB-C connectors.
Mm-hmm.
It's $100 It's 1.5 meter cable. So it's able to charge an Apple Watch and another device like an iPhone or iPad at the same time. It's a 100 watt USB-C cable. So it provides a small amount of power, like 8 watts for the Apple Watch, and the rest distributed to the other device that's plugged in. So that's enough for even, they say, a 16-inch MacBook Pro, as long as you have the red adapter. Yeah.
Right, right.
But it's an odd-looking cable, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's kind of weird how the watch charges is near the other end.
It's right next to where you would plug it into the outlet.
Right,
it's
just, right.
Yeah.
I get. I mean, are you really packing that tight that you need that this would save you anything in travel? I mean, I don't know.
Or just a little more convenient. You'd have one, just one device, right?
Okay. Well, I do now. I have the Apple fold-out magnetic.
Well, that's
phone and watch here. Charger that's just that and a cable.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. Same here.
It's one cable, but I don't know. This just seemed kind of weird to me. $100.
Yeah.
Even though it's a double braided Kevlar outer weave and it uses electroplated metal connectors for durability. Mm. There's also an integrated silicone cable tie to keep it neat when traveling. Well...
It is a smaller brick than the one that comes with your laptop.
And a longer cord, too, isn't it?
Travel light.
Yeah. Does it come with the brick?
Oh, goodness. I would assume it does.
You would hope so. Yeah.
Are you making an assumption there?
It's just a cable, sir.
Well, you know, plug your own in, right? Mm. Your own. Okay, I'm clicking on the thing.
I'm going there.
Let's see what it comes with. If I click on images, I mean.
Ooh, no.
It does not.
Oh, really?
It does not. You buy the adapter separate.
$65
Oh,
no.
Oh, wow.
$65. It's $165.
Oh, forget it.
We'll get you the whole thing.
Yeah, not happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, you could also charge your AirPods on this thing, because AirPods now charge on the Apple Watch Puck as well.
Puck, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But still, okay.
Juicy.
I won't be reviewing this anytime soon. Well, I just hope it's going to die, but I love my Apple Watch, the white square magnetic, foldable.
Yeah, me too.
They don't make anymore.
Yeah, no, I know. That was great, wasn't it?
For travel.
Yes, yes.
It's like the first thing I set up when I get into a hotel room. It takes me 2 seconds, and I've got the same setup everywhere I go. I love it.
Yeah, me too. I had to buy that other one that's there, and you have to kind of pop up the watch thing. It's a little more difficult to pop up. It's so I don't like it as much. And it's thicker. Yeah. It's thicker, and enough is enough. But
it just collapses flat. And
yes, the old one is
much
better.
I just put it in one little zipper front side of my case. It's just perfect.
Bingo, bingo.
All right, so that's my review for the show. No. I love this next article. We texted back and forth on this a little bit when it came out. Apple just built basically the Pixar lamp. They brought it to life. It's an adorable robot lamp. And kind of a sneak peek of what they've been working on with robotics. Because we've heard from, Bloomberg and stuff in the past about Apple and the robotics team creating some sort of desktop thing that would follow you around or do whatever. We finally get to see a little bit of what they've been working on. Not that this is a product yet, but what they're trying to do is very, very interesting. They're creating something that is expressive versus just functional.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That is an amazing way to approach it, I think, to make it with more human-like expressions rather than just being functional.
Yep. So creepy. It's creepy.
No, I think it's absolutely – I love it. I think it's incredible. You know what it reminds me of a little bit? And I'll put a link in the show notes because you really have to watch this video to get the full gist of what this does. Obviously, the lamp from Pixar, right, has a little personality to it. But it also reminds me of one of the robots in Iron Man, one, I think from the first one, that kept screwing up. And he kept threatening to dismantle it. And it would do the same kind of things. It would bow its head when it's sad. And, you know, it kind of reminds me of that. But it is so expressive in what it does.
Yeah, that's... Oh, that's
you were going to say Johnny Five.
It's what?
I thought you were going to say Johnny Five.
Oh, no.
Johnny Five? What is Johnny Five?
The robot. From Short Circuit, I think.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
No, not that. No, not that.
I don't think I've seen
that. That's actually more creepy than this. Anyway, but what this does, which is kind of interesting, is the way they're thinking about it. That's what I really love. Mm-hmm. When you ask it a question like one of the examples they show, is they ask, what's the weather like? And they show side by side with what the functional response would be and what the expressive response would be. The functional response is it just doesn't move. It doesn't do anything. It just speaks the weather like Shlomo would, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The expressive one turns towards the window, looks outside for a second, looks back at you, and then tells you the weather.
There's wah, wah, wah when it's raining.
Yes. So it's got a personality. Another thing was it asked to read a note that was too far away for it to directly get over that was on the table. And in the functional one, it just keeps trying to reach and reach and reach and then says it's out of range. The expressive one reaches and reaches, turns back to you, kind of shakes its head and then lowers it like it's sad it can't reach and then tells you it can't reach it. Like it's disappointed it couldn't do the task for you. But this does a lot of other things. They've got it as a projector. So it is showing you videos of something when you're trying to work on something. The light will follow you if you're working on something on a table.
Right.
Right. You command it with your hand to come closer, to stop, to turn, to move. It was solving math problems on the wall here.
Mm-hmm. Projecting. You can project, which is kind of cool.
Mm-hmm. It is. Mm-hmm. It is pretty neat. Yeah, by far, it's not a product yet, but it's got a lot of potential.
Yeah,
it does.
I love it.
That would be a cool home hub for sure.
A cool what?
Home hub.
Home hub.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be pretty. But the home hub would actually, respond to you in more human ways.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, that is kind of what we need a little more of as we get into this, isn't it? Things are just a little too functional. Mm-hmm. You know, how many times you get mad at your computer because it doesn't know what you're trying to do, right? And this would actually have a response, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's like a mood ring, right? A mood rock or a mood ring, whatever that was.
Oh, even more so, though, yeah, kinda, I think. I think because when you think about it, this is the first iteration of it.
It is.
Yeah. It only gets better from here. Right. Yeah. So I think we get closer to Jarvis, right? I keep going back to Iron Man, but Jarvis was responsive to everything that Tony Stark did, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
This would kind of do the same thing eventually, maybe. I don't know. It's a good start. Good start.
Honestly, it depends on the attitude they program.
So. Oh, that's true.
it's gonna learn your attitude, isn't it? I mean, it's gonna learn you and learn about you, and before you know it, it's you.
Yeah, I love the one about, you know, how you have a reminder to drink water. We have cups that'll, you know, tap our watch and tell us, or our phone or whatever, to remind you to drink water. Mm-hmm. On this thing, it does the same thing. And in the functional one, it just says, time to drink water. Yeah. In the expressive one, it looks down, finds the cup, and just nudges it towards you and then says, it's time to drink water.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to totally program mine to be like the TARS from Interstellar and just have 100% sarcasm.
Oh, yes, TARS. I forgot. That's another great one. That would be fantastic.
Oh, if you could. It would open your meetings for you and your computer just lean over and tap. and your meetings would open up? Start a Teams meeting?
Could do everything for you.
I think it comes the webcam and stares at you.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So what was it he kept adjusting on that? The
humor level?
Humor level. Yeah. Mm-hmm. anyway, check it out. I'll put a link in the show notes for it, including there's a link for their actual, it's kind of like a white paper, but not. It's their web page for it that describes the whole thing.
Yeah, I think I've been making fun of it since you guys sent me the original text, but I'm actually think it's kind of cool. I'm just making fun of it to make fun of it because it does kind of creep me. It kind of creeps me out a little bit, but I think it would be not kind of neat when they really hone it in. And like I said, it actually becomes a little bit of you.
Right. Yeah. If your computers or whatnot could respond.
Yeah. Right.
In a more human way, even if it's just humor. Mm-hmm. Would go a long way, I think. Yeah. But anyway.
Your laptop thinks it's time to stop working. It just closes itself.
Yes.
It's time to go home.
It closes and locks until you've had a certain amount of time away. That might be going too far. All right. Updates. We got some updates. 18.3.1. has dropped. macOS 15.3.1 has dropped for macOS Sequoia. As I said, 18.3.1 for iPhone and iPad. All of these are just important bug fixes and security updates.
Mm-hmm.
Recommended for all users, including watchOS 11.3.1, which mine tried to do last night and failed. I will try again tonight. and Apple Vision Pro. Vision OS 2.3.1.
Mm-hmm.
But what everybody's waiting for is 18.4. And this update is the one I've been waiting for. When you talk about Apple Intelligence, it's the one where Siri can actually be more useful. That is coming. It's not in developer beta or public beta yet, but it's about to be.
Right.
And that will have all the things I've been talking about. Personal context understanding, so that Siri will understand your emails, messages, photos, calendar events, files, and a lot more stuff on your computer. So you can give it more natural language questions and tasks, which would be great. On-screen awareness, so it'll be able to take action with things on your screen.
Mm-hmm.
So you could, if someone texts you recommending a new coffee shop or something, you could say, how long would it take me to walk there from home? And it would know what you're talking about, right?
That's so cool.
Excuse me, losing my voice here. And then in-app actions. So it can, like example, if you're editing photos, you'll be able to say, make this photo warmer. It'll make those adjustments. This is the kind of thing I really
am looking
forward to, right? So anyway, that's coming within the next couple of months, I would hope.
That's hope. I've been hoping for a while.
Yeah.
A couple of days ago, I was just so frustrated. I was trying to ask whether or not it was going to rain at a certain time and end at a certain time. And, you know, she doesn't like have the context from the previous question, you know? So
right.
Okay.
So if Siri were a lamp, it would, and you asked that question, it would look at the window, look back at you, and then shrug.
Well, do you have a ChatGPT? Are you using ChatGPT part of it, Vincent? Because
not yet. No, okay. I didn't ask it to ChatGPT. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't.
You were just asking Siri, right?
Yeah. I don't use that much anymore at all. Everything I do is, you know, you can ask ChatGPT.
I've never asked GPT the weather. Does it have recent data, or is it? I guess it looks it up.
Yeah, it goes and looks it up.
And it knows where you are.
I don't know if I've asked it the weather, to tell you the truth.
Okay.
It's on my watch. It's on my watch, right? I got all the conditions and everything on my watch. I just look at my watch or tap on my watch, right? Or use the double tap to get to the weather. But I will ask. I will do that. I will use it to ask the weather where I'm at and see what it says. I've used it for everything else, I guess.
Right. And in traveling a lot here lately, it's been pretty seamless to what I love about the watch right now is whenever I travel anywhere, just glancing at my watch, I don't have to change where I am. It knows the temperature, everything I'm seeing is where I am
right
at that moment, down to the point of in between, you know, stops. I'm not in a major city. I'm in a different place. And I see, what is the name of, that's where we are right now in that city. Okay. That's what the weather's like. You know, it's kind of nice. So I would imagine that, that if this new version of Siri comes out, it should know that as well, right? Where you are when you ask the question, what's the weather like?
Right. Well, but Vincent was also asking specifically, is it going to rain between 2:30 and 2:45? So he's asking a little more specific question versus, hey, what's the weather today or right now, right?
But
so
that shouldn't be that hard. It's got the data.
She knew when the weather was going to, when the rain was going to start. She didn't know when it was going to end. So it was just, but it's a, and it's for, you know, a different city because I was planning to drive there and didn't know whether or not I want to drive in the rain or when it waited.
Right. Right. Yep.
So I was like, oh.
Yeah. See, I can't wait to be able to ask those kind of questions. Sort of complex, but not, you know? That are contextual. It has to know what you mean specifically based on what you're doing. Could be pretty cool. So you hopefully in the next couple of months, right? We think, February? We hope by April we'll have it.
Q2, beginning Q2.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Sounds good. All right, moving on. Let's talk about a patent. It wouldn't be a show without a patent. So Apple, this one's kind of cool, kind of obvious too. I'm like, why didn't they come out with this before? But they just wanted a patent for an in-store Apple Watch touchless wrist measurement system.
Yay.
To help you get the right fit. And I'm like, we've got all this great cameras on the phone and stuff. Why haven't we been doing this before? It can scan your face and know who you are. Why can't it scan your wrist and know what size it is? So that's what they've developed. It's a touchless wrist measurement. So in some implementations, the techniques are performed by a trained technician in a brick and mortar retail store. Alternatively, the wrist measurement techniques are performed by an individual using an electronic device like, a smartphone that includes the depth sensor. For example, the electronic device is placed on a surface with the depth sensor facing up. The user may rotate their hand or wrist above the device while at least two depth map images of the wrist are captured during a wrist scanning process. Perfect. And then it goes on to say later in this patent description, in some implementations, the watch band is not adjustable, as in no clasp, buckle, notch. Although a non-adjustable watch band may stretch a little to slide over the hand and onto the wrist. An accurate wrist measurement is especially useful for non-adjustable watches. Yes, which is why I have never used a solo loop from Apple, because I tried it once and it was the wrong fit, and I never went back in the store and never measured, none of that. So I just ignored those bands completely. If I had this at home, I'd scan it and order one, and I bet it would fit.
Yeah, we've had this conversation with you on the show many times because I'm the opposite. I love those bands, you know, and I've got a slew of them, and I love them.
I must have a really weird size wrist because it just doesn't, it never fit.
Huge hands, I don't know.
to what?
Huge hands, tiny wrist.
Kinda, yeah.
Okay, all right, got it.
But what's really cool about this, is when you look at the images, all the different poses you make with the hand, and it shows all the measurements they're making. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So they know, you know, the distance between if you hold it with all your fingers and thumb extended versus making a fist versus just holding them up straight. I mean, it's measuring everything.
Yeah. And scanning I guess the challenge is the fact that you have to keep your hand at a kind of a constant distance or not. I mean, I guess it has to adjust for if you move closer or farther away from the camera. And so the sizing gets wonky. Mm-hmm. Right. So, yeah.
Now, this is a patent that they won.
Mm-hmm.
Why do we not see it yet?
Well, it might end up in the store, maybe.
It might not ever end up anywhere, too.
Or it could be simply solved with a piece of paper. So
I tried that. It didn't work. It did not work. Now, this is much, this, you know, there's so many things from Apple that they release, and then you hear the patent.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of those you get the patent even done and complete and granted, and we don't have it yet.
It's another patent on the wall with a number on it.
It is. But this one seems so simple to do for them.
I guess. Well, I remember we went through that rigmarole when all that set of bands came out. And you remember get that really, really high tech, the piece of paper where you wrapped it around your wrist. And I said, F this. And I drove, 8 miles to the mall and went into the Apple store and got it measured. Right. I was like, okay, that was much less stress than putting a piece of paper around my wrist.
Right.
But I got it right the first time and, tried on some and everything's been great, So I've never had an issue with it. I just remember what it was and I buy it that size.
Right. So, I don't know. I'm going to jump to another story here because I'm not going to wear the watch on my wrist anymore. I'm going to wear it on my ankle.
Yes. Was that odd?
So that's, that's so many stories about this.
Mm-hmm.
So, everybody thinks, that's an ankle monitor. No, that's my smartwatch. A lot of people are wearing their watch on their ankle. And the reasons are very interesting for doing this. This one person said that her fitness app would shut down during their workouts. They said they had tiny wrists and wondered if the loose watch was not able to register her heart rate. She looked for different solutions and ended up putting it on her ankle.
Mm-hmm.
Problem solved. She got a special strap, a Velcro strap, to put that on their ankle, which I think we've talked about before that manufacturers make those. Another reason might be some medical professionals, for example, cannot wear anything on their wrists, right? Others have skin conditions or wrist tattoos that interfere with the sensors. And then there are step counters and fitness enthusiasts who say they get more accurate health statistics when they strap it to their ankle.
Yes, when I see
Apple will tell you very specifically that it is meant to be on your wrist.
Mm-hmm.
To be accurate. I love this other one. This woman who, when she had a baby, she was pushing her child around in a stroller and she had to leave one arm free that would swing by her side to get any credit for it because her arms were stationary on the stroller handle.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Or
right.
She walked. So she put it on her ankle and suddenly she's free to walk around and get credit.
Yeah.
It's interesting. The reasons why, I just wonder if it actually works that well.
Well, I have an example for you. I really haven't been focused on steps for probably a year. I'm much more focused on my rings than steps. And I rotate between a Peloton bike. When I'm on that Peloton bike, I throw my watch on my shoes. Because I have these, I don't have laces, right? I have these rubber things that go across and I just pop it in there and I get steps. But I don't really care about steps anymore, so I don't even do it. But when I was really into steps, I put my watch on my shoe when I did the bike.
Hmm. Interesting. And that it was, you thought you found it was pretty accurate?
It was more accurate than being on my wrist when I was when they're stationary on the bike, right? Because your hands are pretty stationary. Oh.
Okay. Yeah, that's true. They are, aren't they? Yeah. Huh.
Unless you're one of those, I forget what they call them, where you know, stand up on the bike and you're kicking butt. You know, I'm not that kind of biker, but but I wish I could, but I think I would kill myself. But no, it worked great. It really worked great.
This reminds me of one of the very first fitness monitors I ever had,
mm-hmm.
way before the watch. It was from Nike. It was a little thing you put in your shoe.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And you track your distance and other things, you know, mm-hmm. obviously mm-hmm. not your heart rate and all that stuff, but still pretty cool, but very similar. So apparently some people, though, are mistaking it for a monitor, mm-hmm. like a mm-hmm. Like you've been in,
right?
You
know, exactly.
Released,
yes, that's funny.
Prison,
yeah. No. Yeah, a little more like, colorful and exciting, but you know, I see the.
Yeah, no, it's not an ankle monitor. Let me just tell you, it's just my watch.
Look, I could take it off, and it doesn't buzz. No one's coming to get me.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Mm. So anyway, that's kind of fun. We'll keep you updated on that. Let you know if it becomes a real trend here.
Just give it a try.
I have been wearing, by the way, my watch on my other wrist, on my right wrist,
mm-hmm.
which, because I had this condition on my left wrist that turned out to be like some sort of infection in the follicles of your skin that it takes forever to go away. It's just now to the point where it's going away completely. But I've been wearing it on the other wrist, but driving me nuts. I'm just not used to it on that wrist, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If you get so used to it being in one place, and I still every now and then start to put it on the wrong wrist. I'm like, no, got to put it on this one. It's just habit, right?
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. But just simple things like folding my arms get in the way of being on the wrong wrist.
Yeah.
Never thought about stuff like that. It's kind of weird, but hopefully I can get it switched back. But I'm not going to put it on my ankle. how do you check the time?
Exactly. How do you do? How do you do anything?
Sit down and cross your legs.
Yeah.
How do you use Apple Pay?
Do you
swing your foot up onto the counter and bolt there it up to the payment?
Right.
You know, that would be pretty funny. Someone should do that and film it. All right. Have you used your Apple Watch as a speaker very often?
Mm-mm. Not often. Not often at all. Yeah.
I do from time to time just because it's kind of a new thing and it's actually kind of useful from time to time. But apparently there's an issue with the Apple Watch Series 10. Some people think they have a defective speaker.
Mm-hmm.
And either of you have had that issue, right?
No.
Yeah, no, not really.
I just checked mine today as loud as can be, but mm-hmm. A growing number of people say that it's not loud enough, that it gets very, very low, even turned all the way up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's on everything, music, podcasts, phone mm-hmm. calls, mm-hmm. all of it. So some say it came about gradually. And some say it and degraded over time. Others say it was right from the start that they had a problem with it. So I don't know if this is a software issue or a hardware issue.
I was thinking it's just stuff stuck in the grill.
But right from the start, like a brand new watch?
Right. And that's a year old, happen. Right?
It could happen. It could happen.
It happens.
Well, but Apple, of course, has not officially acknowledged that it's an issue.
Mm-hmm.
Not enough people, but there's quite a few. Whenever you hear something like this happen, then eventually it becomes an issue that Apple will address.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So when did the 10?
A lot of stories about it.
When did the 10 come out? Last September?
Yeah.
So 6 months?
It's been a while.
Yeah, 6 months-ish. No, 5 months. 5 months-ish. Somewhere around there. So it's enough time that enough people have had the issue to make it an issue. And if it is from the beginning, then that is kind of odd. But
right, it still amazes me that I can play because for so long we couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
That you can actually play something from it, and it's not half bad. I mean, mm-hmm. it's as good as some of the early phone speakers were. You know,
Yeah, no, it's definitely good for phone calls. I've had full conversations on the watch, and on top of that, they can't tell.
Right,
that's the best thing. Right, that's the best.
That's
thing.
That's the absolute best thing.
They cannot tell.
Yeah, I use walkie-talkie quite a bit. Same thing. It's pretty nice.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, if you're having an issue with the speaker on your Series 10. It's a known issue, just not by Apple yet. so hang in there. they may acknowledge it.
You'll get there. You'll get there.
Yeah, you'll get there. What else here? Oh, another product release from Apple. I do believe this was Monday. Power Beats Pro 2.
Yeah.
Finally, an update to these earbuds. They first came out in 2019. I have a pair of those, and they call them the ultimate sport earphones because they truly will never fall out of your ears because they have an ear hook on them. And for me, at least, what blew me away, and I have the AirPods Pro, the first version. I don't have the latest ones, but the sound from the Power Beats Pro by far surpass the AirPods Pro to me.
Oh, really?
The music is like twice as good. I mean, all you can really, at least I can, hear the difference when I play music. I don't know what it is about the speakers in there or how they're done, but they're different, which is why another reason I really love wearing them. When I run, I can really hear it very well. The only thing they don't have is like the noise cancellation and all of that. They don't have that.
Right. Uh-huh.
Well, now they do. These new ones, they've fixed just about everything with them.
Mm-hmm.
And they've added something that no other ones have. The first of its kind fitness feature, which is built-in heart rate monitoring.
Yeah, that's cool.
That is very cool. So here's the highlights. Using the Apple's H2 chip with transparency mode, personalized spatial audio. The case, which was my big thing. If you remember my review of this thing, that was the one thing I hated and still hate, is putting those things in the case. I always get them wrong, or one of them invariably will come loose. So when I pick them up to use them, one is dead. Drives me nuts. Well, the case is now 33% smaller and has been reconfigured. So hopefully that issue has been addressed. It has a USB-C and Qi charging. So that's new. Couldn't do that before. Now I can just set it down on a charging pad. The built-in heart rate monitoring, battery life up to 45 hours with the case. Comes in jet black, quicksand, hyper purple, and electric orange. Sweat and water resistant, IPX4. Same price, $250, basically. But much slimmer. And I'm reading a review here from 9to5 Mac, and they say they're actually 20% lighter than the predecessor.
Seem a little smaller, yeah.
And they say they are by far the most snug-fitting and secure earbuds they've ever used. They said it took them a few tries to get the perfect fit. You know, it comes with all the different size ear things.
Right,
but
right.
Once they found the sweet spot, said it was just incredible. It's got the same physical, which another thing I love, physical buttons on this thing. When you're running, you're not fumbling with a touch thing that you can screw up. You push the B logo for listening modes, play, pause, all that sort of stuff. And then you have a volume button that's a rocker one, which is all very nice, very tactile. You can just touch it to do it, or push it to do it, not a touch. and they said, yeah, it was a labor of love to get the charging case down to that size. and then they said the usability and bud presentation was aligned in the smallest possible form factor for the charging case. That is, I think, is a fancy way of saying we made it so they won't get out of alignment and lose charge anymore.
Right.
Um, So anyway, very cool. I love this. When my other ones die, I will definitely be getting one of these.
Nice, nice. Yeah, I don't blame you. They're, they look great.
Yeah.
They didn't say whether or not these could support the ear or hearing test, right? Like
they did not.
Yeah.
But there is one other oddity here. Okay. And this is from Beats. Now, they've teamed up with key fitness apps to integrate the heart rate data, right? Peloton, Nike Run Club, Runna, Ladder, Slopes, Open, Yao Yao, all these different apps. You know which one it doesn't work with? Apple Fitness Plus and your Apple Watch. If you use Apple Fitness Plus, it is going to default to the Apple Watch for the heart rate. It will not use these for the heart rate. Isn't that weird? It's the only one it doesn't work with.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
For now. Maybe that'll change.
Software problem. Yeah.
You'll probably be able to choose which one you want to use for the heart rate. But it will default to the Apple Watch rather than the Power Beats Pro 2. So I thought that was kind of strange.
Yeah, it is. It's, it was weird. The list here, like, where is the list for the... No, it's not there.
It's not there. It's no, it's not. So anyway.
I gotta say, this was one of the longest articles I've ever come across.
It is.
Own table of contents.
For the
I just briefly touched on the points here. I didn't even go through everything else I put in here.
Yeah, for the topic, it was, I was, same thing. It was one of the longest articles we've had in a long time.
It's very thorough.
Yes, there's no doubt.
I'll put a link in the show notes for it. You want to get more in depth for it. But yeah, pretty cool. What else here?
Last one, huh? With the Apple events?
No, actually, that's going to be my what I like or don't like this.
Okay. This so we're going to skip that one. Yeah,
we'll skip that one, but I think that's it, right?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
All right. Wow. Man, that took a while. All right, we'll get to just to what we like here in just a minute. But first, a quick reminder that the Apple Watchcast is brought to you by the wonderful support of our Patreon subscribers. Become a patron of the Apple Watchcast, and for as little as a dollar a month, you can help us to keep producing this show. So check out our page. It's at patreon.com/AppleWatchcast. You can subscribe there, become a patron of the Apple Watchcast, and a big, big thanks to all of our patrons. You make this show possible. All right. Let's, what we like this week. Vincent, why don't you kick it off?
All right. So about late last year, my Honda Odyssey gave up and died. So we went out and...
How old was that vehicle?
What was it? 12 years old?
That's pretty good. When the
mechanic tells you that both catalytic converters need to be changed out, you're done.
I already did that on our van.
Go ahead. More than the cost of the car.
Yeah,
so we were at a point where we're like, well, you know what? I don't want to pay for gas. I don't want to deal with oil changes. I don't want to. So yeah, we ended up deciding to go with an electric car. But at the time, before all this news and everything, we ended up getting a Tesla. Tesla Y, and you know, we've been trying to figure out all the different nuances of driving an electric car and the whole one pedal type of scenario. But later in the year, they did release an official, I think it's the official Tesla Apple Watch app. So everything that, you know, Tesla does is around the phone or the console in the car. And having the watch app was kind of a special add-on. You can use it, number one, as the key for the car as well. So you can just have your watch and you can activate the car and get in there. And it has all the other little complications that you would think of for that a typical car app would have. You can open up the charging port. You can open up the doors, the frunk. The trunk, if you want to, you check on the battery life on there, and you can turn on the air conditioner so you can condition your car or at least turn it on before you get there. A couple of the things that you can do with it is you can honk the horn or flash your lights just in case you can't locate your car, I assume. The overall, the app itself, I like using the app more than the watch because it's a little more stable. the watch sometimes can lose its session or the sync to the to the car. It's not as stable. I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm not on Wi-Fi or something weird.
But it's also new, right? The app is
pretty new. Pretty
for the
new.
Watch.
Yeah,
for the watch.
Yeah. So it's about a month.
Maybe they just haven't. They haven't had time to get it robust enough. Maybe.
So, yeah, it's pretty slick. I mean, just to be able to, you know, have my watch on me and just run out to the car and, you know, pick up the kids or something like that without having my phone. I just don't really need it. Yeah, it's been kind of neat. Just driving by gas stations and waving at them. but I gotta tell you that just a non-tech side of things, the Tesla, why the comfort, the ride comfort for passengers is not great. just as an FYI, it's very
rough. Really?
Very,
is it rough?
Very firm, yeah. It's one of those things that folks have complained about over time. The other thing folks have brought up is that Tesla does not support CarPlay whatsoever.
Right, right.
Its own UI is interesting. It can pair with your Bluetooth and as well as Apple Music and such and podcasts. But I've noticed with Apple Music, though, when you choose a playlist, it just starts from the beginning every time. It doesn't pick up where you left off. So some weird little nuances like that.
Really?
You know, it could be better. Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
And that, you know, it's got that big screen, right?
Oh, yeah. Just a big
screen. So that's not something you could, like, replace with an aftermarket CarPlay thing.
No,
just isn't going to work.
There is a third party that did create a kind of like a sim. It uses the console's browser, the web browser. So you have it pairs with your phone, and then from there, it displays the CarPlay like apps and icons, but you're using it through the browser, and it's kind of
so. Light. So what are you using for maps navigation?
Just the Tesla app.
The Tesla app.
Okay. Yeah. The cool thing is you can look up locations and such on your phone, and then send it straight to your car. Just kind of
okay. Yeah.
Yeah. The Apple Play is the CarPlay definitely is an advantage. There is a big in the electric car, well, all cars, right? There's a big fight for the screen now. It's a whole other show talking about, you know, General Motors saying they're not going to support CarPlay in the future. They want you to buy their service, right? So it's a big deal. It's a big deal.
Yeah, I still want to replace the unit in the vehicle that we travel in. I want to replace that with a CarPlay bigger screen kind of thing. I've looked into all of that. I mean, it's not cheap to do, but I think it would be worth it in the long run.
If you're in the car a lot, it would be. And
we are.
And then, you know, as you were saying, I before the show, I'd hook onto this and well, welcome to the club, Vincent. I'm 55,000 miles into my car and I love it. And I think I've gone to gas. I've actually pumped gas maybe 5 times in 3.5 years. On rental cars or something. And I'm like, how do I do this? You know, it's almost stressful not to pump gas. But I just received my Tesla adapter for fast charging. It was something Ford was giving everyone. And it just showed up last Friday, like 6 months late, which I don't know why it took so long. They weren't making billions of them. And Sunday I went in and hooked up my Ford to a Tesla charger and it was seamless. So it worked great. The only difference is the dang cords are so short because you back in, I think. You back into a fast charger. Yeah.
Right.
And I wasn't expecting. I'm like, oh man, I really had to hug that charger.
Yeah.
Like, so.
Yeah. Do you use the Tesla app to charge?
Yes, I use the Tesla app.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I created an account, did everything on Tesla app. I just did it to check it out. I mean, I have all the others. There's so many more. There's more charging stations than there ever been, the fast charging stations. But it's just another – it's kind of like a backup for me. So
that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was one of our biggest concerns is the number of charging stations and not being stranded.
What's what's the range?
On mine, I think it's – I got the long range, so it's the dual motor. So it's about 235 miles.
That's pretty good.
Not too bad. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's pretty good. How about you, Chris?
Mine was when it was brand new, 300.
Oh wow!
You know, 3.5 years later, it's probably 275. That's in July fully charged. January fully charged, it's about 250.
Okay.
Because of the weather.
Yeah, see our vehicle is a very large van. Like the it's like a dry the tallest, longest van that Ford makes. And the gas mileage is not great, but my range is about 300 to 350. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's not that far off from what you guys are.
It's not.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I just wondered if they, and they do have an electric version, but I think the range was like 200.
Yeah.
And, oh, you know, you can buy a Rivian van now, you know, the Amazon ones?
Right. Yeah.
You can. You really want one of those.
Oh, a Rivian of, oh yeah, I did see that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think it's the range on that was even less. I think
you gotta
it
be
was more for
that.
Local, it is. Local delivery stuff. The range was under 200, I think, but yeah.
And another thing too. Yeah. Cause you're going to, you know, when you're heavy stuff in a van, you're going to get pretty crappy mileage there or
range. If I'm getting 14, I'm doing good.
Yeah. But the Buckies have now put in, they had Tesla chargers, but now they have, you know, non-Tesla chargers. So that's awesome. Because when I go east, west, north, or south, I'm stopping at Buckies to charge.
You got it.
You know, and now you got double duty, you know, you're getting your brisket and you're charging.
How long does it take you to charge?
It's a curve. So it charges like the first 80%, like really fast. And then at the last 20% of trickle charges all the way.
Yeah. They got to change that.
The last few miles. Yeah. Cause it doesn't want to burn your battery. I guess. So it's for folks out there, you know, you don't need to charge up to 100% every time. You just need to charge enough miles to get you where you are.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Save you a lot of time.
Cool. All right. I'll go next here. As we kind of teased, there was an article. Let's see, who was Macworld, I think, did this article, which got me thinking about this whole situation. They titled it "The Era of the Apple Event is Over." And I started thinking about Apple events, and that's kind of what I wanted to talk about is, you know, this particular week, Apple is doing something a little different, right? They're announcing new products, but they're releasing them kind of quietly on their website without an event. It's just an emailed press release. We talked about the Powerbeats Pro 2. They did this, I think, last year, where they released a new product like every day for 3 or 4 days and created some buzz around it. And I understand the thinking behind it, that some things are not worth a huge invite event. That kind of makes sense. We were supposed to get the new iPhone SE 4 yesterday. But it's been delayed a week, according to Bloomberg, we think, but nobody knows for sure. And that's actually the problem. Apple's announcements have changed so much over, I don't know, I guess decades. If you go back to the 80s and 90s, there was only one Apple event a year, and that was the Macworld Expo, right? It was very hard to imagine now releasing an entire year's worth of stuff in one event. But it was quite a show, right? That was when Steve Jobs ruled the stage. He projected his reality distortion field on everybody, and everything he announced was mind-blowing, right? And it was all stuff you had to have. Well, Apple kind of got tired of this yearly grind to have things done by a certain date every year, having software and hardware deadlines dictated by an event at the beginning of the year. It got to be kind of impossible to do. So Apple started to change the schedule, and they did their own events several times a year. As a result, the Macworld Expo died, right? Without Apple there, it lost its appeal as kind of a must-see attraction. These new events were great because Steve Jobs was still doing them. Well, when he passed away, it fell to Tim Cook, who could not really, in my opinion, project the same level of enthusiasm that Jobs did. He tried, but he's not Steve Jobs.
No.
Anyway, there were still events that are worth tuning in live for. Then COVID hit, and Apple pivoted to these pre-recorded video events that we get now, which they quickly mastered, right? They're chock full of information, but without the live energy. These were really great for a while, but I think they've kind of become stale, right? Kind of bloated. And at times, it seems like I'm just watching a commercial rather than the excitement of being a part of an event as it happens, right? I mean, I was lucky enough to have attended a few of those Macworld events, and being in the audience was kind of special. You felt you were watching history as it happened, especially with the iPhone release. Well, that magic is all gone now, and I kind of fear that these email press releases may become more the norm for Apple. I think if they have an amazing device to release, like let's say they take that lamp thing and turn it into something absolutely spectacular, instead of just updating an existing product, something really cool, they should do another live event. They haven't done one in so long, mm-hmm. right? Send out the invites, make it a big deal, make it the must-have ticket to get in, and release the product with that excitement of a live presentation. I really miss those events. And I don't know, maybe Apple thinks it's too much hype for any one product to live up to, but I don't know. Just, I think as companies ramp up kind of this return to the office for employees, I think Apple needs to rethink what they're doing with events mm-hmm. and return to live events. Bring back the magic of a great presentation on stage where anything can happen. They don't do that anymore. These are all too packaged and perfect.
They're all AI anyway.
Well, they could be. At this point, why not? Right? Yes. Yeah. How would you know?
No, I'm with you. I agree.
So much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now they do what? We have the WWDC in the summer, and we have the iPhone event, right, in September. Otherwise, they'll do a spring event sometimes or not.
It's just like the business meeting, right? The business meeting in COVID, if you started a meeting at the top of the hour, ended the meeting at the next top of the hour on any platform, Zoom, Teams, Google Meet, it was done. And then as soon as you went back and had meetings in person, it's like you met up 15 minutes before, you walked to the meeting together, all the good stuff happens before and after the meeting, right? So
yeah,
so right. That's the same with a live event. All the stuff happens before and after the live event. So I agree mm-hmm. with you. And I don't even care anymore. Remember how excited we used to get about those things?
Yeah.
Like, we're going to do it. Now I'm like, yeah, I can watch it in 3 days or Tom will send me a text. I don't even care. So so it's boring. It's not exciting. I agree. And you don't have to do every one of them live. Pick one, do something really exciting. Knock it out of the park, and then it gets the juices flowing again.
I fear they've forgotten how to do it.
Yeah, maybe.
They're so structured and have created this machine of creating these video events that are all clever and entertaining, but mm-hmm. that's just to keep you watching because what they're showing isn't all that exciting when it's just filmed like that.
And this is going to sound really terrible. There's too many handoffs to too many people. Steve was talking, like he was just into it, they did handoffs, but these things now in an hour, you're going to have 20 handoffs.
Yeah. When Steve used to do it, you would get maybe two handoffs the entire
time. Exactly. Exactly.
He did everything. He did it all.
And that's what we do when you're sitting preparing for a really important presentation. You're like, that's too many handoffs.
Yeah.
We're not doing that.
Right.
So that's what I get. I'm like, okay, I get someone else telling me something else and someone else telling me something else. And I'm like, an hour later, I've got 47 messages, and it kind of confuses me.
Yeah. So anyway, it's just something this article really got me thinking about.
Yeah, agree.
And I think I don't agree completely with the article. They said the era of having events at all are done. But I think they just need to stop and rethink about how they're doing them mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and why, I mean, I have to give them credit. They pivoted perfectly during COVID. That was, they had just moved into this new space, the campus, and it was a great way to show off the campus too, right? All that zooming around but now, why are we doing that? Mm-hmm. if it doesn't have anything to do with the product, why are we zooming all over the campus?
You got it.
Yeah. Anyway. All right, Chris, what do you like?
I got nothing. No, I'm kidding. So two out of the last 3 weeks, I was traveling internationally, and even though one of them is Canada and it's just, very easy flight and very easy in and out the country, it still was in Quebec where they speak French. And then I went over to Germany, France, and Europe for work. And I hadn't really done that much international travel in a long time. So real quick, what I like this week is continue to love the Translate app. So, I mean, when you get a menu in Quebec, because they're not going to speak any English with you, or they're not going to have it printed on their menus. Take a picture. It translate that thing, man, in 5 seconds, and you're looking at an English menu. It's awesome. Now, trying to order it in English is another story. I would just kind of use it, put it in the Translate app, and hit go, and it would say it. I'm like, this is awesome, you know? I think that Translate app is great. And then there's also a complication on your phone, on your watch, and you can use your watch. I haven't used the watch as much as the phone.
You haven't used it?
I've used it for me personally, but when I'm trying to talk to someone, I've used the phone. Like the Uber drivers, right? To confirm where I'm going, I've used the phone to do it. Right. I haven't used my watch. But I've used the watch to phrases and stuff. You know, I can talk a phrase in English and it translates it. And then I butcher it trying to say it to someone. So that was the first thing I liked. The second thing I liked is I made a watch face for my travels. So I had the Modular Ultra. Upper left, I had the local time of my home city, Knoxville, Tennessee. So I always knew where time it was. No matter where I was, I knew what time it was in Knoxville. So I didn't bother anyone, or I knew kind of what I was dealing with. Sunrise, sunset. So I knew kind of what was going on where I was, because obviously it's different from where I lived. My Outlook inbox, so I can see what new email were coming in. And then in the middle, I had the conditions, so I can see the weather across the day, which is really nice. Bottom left was TripIt, so I had, you know, a complication to all my travel, trains, planes, automobiles, and Ubers. Translate app was the bottom middle, and then my rings. I always have to have my rings. If I don't have a rings on my watch face, I feel naked. So that was a watch face I used through my travel, and it was very, very fun. So that's what I like this week.
The only thing missing from that face that I have to have on almost every face I create is battery.
Ah, really?
I want to know if I'm getting too low.
Yeah. Ah, man, I never.
I know it'll tell me, but it's usually too late at that point, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I have a cord I can sell you.
You have what? Oh, a cord? Yeah. Yeah, but does it charge anything else also at the same time?
Yeah.
Oh, it does. Oh, interesting.
Well, you know, I don't usually run into a power problem. Although traveling from the U.S. to Europe, going, you know, east overnight, you kind of have that long day and a half of no sleep. Unless you're a magic man and you can sleep on an airplane. That's where I kind of run low on battery. But now with so much, you have power on the plane now, right? You just plug it in and charge it up. So I rarely run into power issues.
Right. Cool.
Yeah. One thing, I don't know if you've tried this, Chris. You can take a picture. If you have GPT Pro, have it just read the menu and determine what you should order. Just let it do it for you.
No kidding. I do have GPT Pro, and I have not done that.
Yeah,
oh, I'm going to do that. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Thank you. That's a good tip.
So if Apple comes out with this little Luxo lamp robot that's portable, you have it sitting on the table, you could ask it, should I order this from the menu? Mm-hmm. And it could shake its head yes or no, whether it thinks it's a good idea, right?
Pass on the creme brulee. Yeah.
Pass on the creme brulee? Is that what you said?
Exactly.
Never. Never. All right. Anything else we want to talk about before? Before we're surprised to see an outlier in our vitals app and then relieved when we find out it's just the sleep. You slept less the night before.
Yeah.
Not your heart rate. That always freaks me out. I see one outlier and I'm like, oh, my God, what? Oh, yeah, I didn't sleep as much.
Yeah.
That one I can get by with. Mm-hmm. Have you ever had an outlier on your heart rate or breathing or anything like that?
No. Not that I know of.
Not yet.
No.
That's good. Yeah, I keep waiting. The wrist temperature or respiratory rate, something, pop up, tell me something's wrong. But
One today. I was on my Peloton running, and I didn't know. My granddaughter kind of came into the room behind me. And she mm-hmm. wants to crawl on the thing or walk on the thing.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And I didn't know it. And all of a sudden I hear this thickoom. I turn around and there she is rolling. I'm like, oh my God, my daughter's going to kill me. And she just got up and said, oh, I'm okay. You know, so I'm like, all right. So I'm sure there was a heart murmur there on my watch, you know, telling me, oh my God.
A little spike.
Yes, that's a little bit.
All right. Well, that is all the time we have for this episode. Thank you, Vincent and Chris, as always, for being here. I really do appreciate it. Thank you to everyone out there for listening. If you'd like to support our show, you can check out our Patreon page. It's at patreon.com/AppleWatchcast. It's a great way to help us to continue to produce this show. Again, check it out at patreon.com/AppleWatchcast. Links to stuff we talk about can be found on our website. And that's at applewatchcast.com. You can follow us in Apple Podcasts or any other podcast service you prefer. If you have a question about the Apple Watch or about our show, send us an email at comments@applewatchcast.com. As always, thanks for listening. And until our next show, you're on your own time.
Remember to rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts.